Today's lecture has been titled A Lecture on Bhagavad Gita. So generally it's considered that if there is to be a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, that someone will quote from Bhagavad Gita and then give their own idea of what it means. But there's no need for anyone to give their own opinion about what anything in Bhagavad Gita means. Because Bhagavad Gita in itself is the most perfect lecture ever given. Of course, it was in the form of a dialogue, Arjuna asking questions and Bhagavan Krishna replying. But it's mostly Bhagavan Krishna speaking. And therefore, although Arjuna is also known as, is also speaking in there, it's known as Bhagavad Gita, not Arjuna Gita. Arjuna is presenting the questions and Bhagavan Krishna is presenting the answers. And because Bhagavan Krishna's answers are perfect for every time, place and person, there's no need for anyone to reinterpret them in any way. This gentleman can sit down. Would you like to sit down? Therefore, a lecture on Bhagavad Gita is perfect if it simply re-presents the message that Lord Krishna spoke to Arjuna. The very reason that we're speaking on Bhagavad Gita is because it is a perfect presentation. So any representation or representation of Bhagavad Gita that fails to present the message of Bhagavad Gita as Lord Krishna himself spoke it is a deviation and less than perfect. That's why this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is for various interpretations. Rather, if one can understand what Krishna is saying and present that for the benefit of others, that is the perfect presentation. Of course, we may say that, well, different people have different opinions. Of course, that's true. And we may say that, well, everyone's entitled to have an opinion. And that's also true. But that's why Arjuna was bewildered, because he was more, in the beginning, he was on the platform of his opinion. He didn't understand the actual fact. So in the modern age, people are very insistent that everyone should have their own opinion. And what is called Hinduism is a mishmash of various opinions. And it's considered that all opinions are okay. However, although this might lead to harmony in human society, it doesn't solve the real problems of life. Lord Krishna presents in Bhagavad Gita the real problems are janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, the miseries of birth, death, old age and disease. This is not an opinion, this is a fact. No one can argue, unless they're a complete fool, that birth, death, old age and disease are anything but miserable. And this is a problem which is cyclical. It goes on and on and on. There is a kind of mass accepted folklore or illusion that after death we automatically attain peace. It's thought that, well, someone had struggled so much in life, but now they pass away, they have attained eternal peace. But the actual fact is as stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam va pismaran bhavam chatyante kalevaram tam tam evaite kauntaya sada tat bhava bhavitaha. Just get the translation. In other words, if one is in confused consciousness, he will get the next birth in a confused condition to continue his confusion. It may seem that we attain peace by death because the body which was flapping around stops flapping. The gross body, which was the vehicle for that particular soul, for that particular period of time, has stopped moving. That is the only the sthula sharira. There's also the sukshma sharira, or the subtle body. Death of the body means that the subtle body of mind, man buddhi ahamka, this takes the atma to another gross body. So this is very important for everyone to understand. We are all living in this world with various hopes and ambitions. Dehino, this is also from Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Dehino svinyata dehe komaram yovanam jarartata dehantara praktihi. We're all going from childhood to youth to adulthood to old age and death. What comes next? What kind of destination are you going to get in your next life? Urdhvanga chanti sattvastho madhe tishtanti rajasa jaghanya guna vrittisto adhoga chanti tamasa. Now, if we talk about some kind of so-called guru or so-called paramahamsa who gives blessings by which your business prospers and your health problems go away, everyone will be very interested. Oh, really? Or if we talk about some great rishi who's says that everyone and everything is God, then everyone will be very impressed. Due to being an illusion, everyone in this material world is addicted to hearing about things which are not for their benefit. The whole commercial interest, or the whole commerce, the whole trading in the world works on the basis that people are addicted to things which are of no value to them. We see so many advertisements. Study in Australia. Use this kind of cooking oil. Cooking oil. Use this variety of soap. People are absorbed in activities which they think are for their benefit. But actually, what kind of soap we use is glaringly unimportant compared to what kind of body or what kind of existence we're going to get next. But people are so foolish that they are not interested to hear about that which is for their ultimate benefit. If we tell people you can get some gold, they will be very interested. If I was a guru famous for producing gold and giving it to people, this hall would be completely packed because people like gold. But if we tell you that, if we just say that, actually what value is it to you? That they cannot imagine. What is the value of gold actually? You can't eat it, it has no smell. It's just a problem, someone might steal it, kill you and steal it. Of course you can sell the gold and get some money and buy some rice. You can buy many bags of rice for one little piece of gold. With that rice you can cook it every day and get some energy to jump around, and that rice will be converted into stool so you can make some fertilizer, natural fertilizer. But still there is birth, death, old age and disease. So if we tell people that from Bhagavad Gita Lord Krishna has given us the direction by which we can get free from birth, death, old age and disease, people think, not interesting. So we are simply asking people to be a little bit intelligent. It is a very hopeful request of us, because people have been cultivating foolishness life after life after life. People think that it is intelligence to study and get a degree and go and study more in Australia, for instance. manipulate money so that you can buy gold. These are all simply manifestations of foolishness. Because if we spend our whole life without considering how to get free from birth, death, old age and disease, then everything is simply a waste of time. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes how to get free from birth, death, old age and disease. It's actually not very difficult. Bhaktyamamabhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. By the simple process of Krishna bhakti, one is automatically freed from birth, death, old age and disease. But people have got such perverted intelligence that they think that Krishna bhakti is a process to help us live more happily in this world of birth, death, old age and disease. We'll get some blessings and then we'll get more money and we'll live happily. And if we don't get it from Krishna, then we can get it from any other god or from some so-called rishi or so-called paramahamsa. We can see that there's so much conversion going on in India from one religion to another, mostly from Hinduism to Christianity, also Hinduism to Islam. Why are people so-called converted? It's not that they're thinking how they can better understand God, it's just for economic and social motives. When we were coming here, we saw a stage in the middle of the city with a big picture of Buddha Dev on one side, the original Buddha Dev, nothing to do with West Bengal. And on the other side of the poster was a picture of Dr. Ambedkar. So they're promoting Dr. Ambedkar as a proponent of Buddhism, and he gave an alternative to the people who are called the Dalits, that you can become a Buddhist like him. But his conversion to Buddhism had nothing to do with any philosophical, theological, or religious motive. It was a social protest against being a Dalit. Dalit means crushed, oppressed. And mostly people get converted with the offer of, for instance, a free chicken on Sundays. And the persons who are busy doing conversion, they get paid for every baptism they do. People are not serious to understand who is God and what is our relationship. People are not seeking the truth. They think that religion is some kind of means to fulfill their material desire. That was Arjuna's mistake at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He thought that by observing dharma, we should improve our social position. People think that religion is meant for social work. Just like we see in Tiruvannamalai, Ramana Maharshi Eye Hospital, Ramana Maharshi School, and all these kinds of things which Ramana Maharshi himself never opened, but they're being opened in his name. So opening hospitals and schools and all this social work, that's got nothing to do with the actual essence of religion. This opening hospitals and schools is only to try to make our condition more comfortable within the world of birth, death, old age and disease. Rather, it ignores the real question, that our real problem is birth, death, old age and disease. We may say, well, hospitals, that addresses the problem of disease. No. The idea of a hospital is that we will get cured from disease and go on with our material life. But even if we open millions of hospitals and have millions of doctors, there'll still be millions of diseases. We cannot stop disease as long as we have diseased consciousness. From time to time, I meet doctors and they tell me how they saved someone's life. What is the point, actually? Someone is living in ignorance and then he goes on living in ignorance, and anyway he has to die. And after you die, then again you get another body to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. And another, and another, and another, on and on. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam. This is material. So why are people not serious to understand that these are the actual problems? Could you kindly, everyone, turn off their cell phones or put it in silent mode or whatever? Why do people not think about the real problem of birth, death, old age and disease? These are very causes of great distress. Maybe it's such a big question that people would rather try to avoid it. We've all heard of the ostrich, how the ostrich reacts to danger. Does everyone know about that? The ostrich putting its head in the sand. Is everyone aware of this? Have you heard of this? There's a bird called an ostrich, which, where is it? Australia? So it's a very big bird, but it's not very powerful. So if people come to attack it, it tries to run away. But if it realizes it cannot run away, then it simply puts its head in the sand and just pretends that there's no problem. And then the predator, whether it's a human or an animal, comes and kills it. So that is our situation. We like to pretend that there is no real problem in material life. But simply pretending that there is no problem does not make the problem go away. It's very easy to solve the problem of birth, death, old age and disease. We can do so by surrendering to Krishna. Maya is very difficult to be free from. But Lord Krishna continues, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Those who surrender to Krishna can easily cross beyond maya. Then why do we not like to do so? Why are people not interested in this? Well, in maya. So Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna to remove Arjuna's ignorance. We can all get the same benefit as Arjuna. First, we have to admit and understand that we are in ignorance. We are suffering in ignorance. Who can deny it? Only a fool. That is the problem. We are all foolish. We are abodha jata. We are born as unthinking fool. But we have to become thoughtful and intelligent. Parabhavas yavana abodha jata yavana jigyasata atmatattva. We are defeated in all our efforts as long as we remain unthinking. Unless and until we inquire into the nature of reality, we are always defeated. So you may think, well, okay, but where's Krishna? Where is Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita to?
Krishna!
The message of Bhagavad Gita is passed down in Guru Parampara. Anyone who simply presents the message of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita as Lord Krishna has spoken it, then his rendition of Bhagavad Gita will be as effective as Krishna's directly speaking. Of course, one has to be as sincere as Arjuna. You may say, well, how can you find a guru as qualified as Krishna? And where's the disciple who's as qualified as Arjuna? No one can be as qualified as Krishna, and no one can be as qualified, as very rare to find anyone as qualified as Arjuna. But if someone is presenting the message of Bhagavad Gita without any distortion, then that person is imbued with Krishna's potency to that jnana shakti. And one has to be listening very attentively and sincerely, like Arjuna was, which is not possible if you're always talking on your cell phone in the middle of the lecture. So we can get the results, simply we have to be we can get the same result as Arjuna. Simply, we have to be sincere and find someone who is sincerely presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. Unfortunately, people in the modern age, especially, they want something very cheap and artificial. They will worship some bogus Paramahamsa who doesn't present the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is. The message of Bhagavad Gita is to surrender to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all His servants eternally. The bogus Paramahamsas, they like to deflect the attention to themselves. We see Srila Prabhupada, the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, promoted the glories of Krishna all over the world. He didn't promote himself. He was not interested in that people should come and worship me. He wanted that people should worship Krishna. And in the modern age, there are so many so-called Paramahamsas and yogis and gurus and swamis. It's just some kind of popularity cult. But people are interested in something cheap. They want some cheap blessings. A real guru doesn't simply work on the platform of some kind of cheap emotionalism or sentimentalism. If someone is an actual guru, he must teach people the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Someone who takes the position of guru but doesn't teach his followers how to get free from birth and death is simply cheating them. Vaishnav guru, about 500 years ago, he was once walking with some disciples, and they came across a big snake who was surrounded by big red ants, many thousands of big red ants. The snake was very old and weak, and the ants, without waiting for him to die, had already started eating him. So you can imagine how painful that is, especially for a big snake, that people used to fear him, respect a big snake. So Vallabhacharya, he said that in his previous life, this big snake was a big guru. So because he was pretending to be a holy person, but actually he was just exploiting people and he was actually very envious of them, therefore he got the body of a big snake. And because he misled his disciples, they didn't get a better birth, they all took birth as ants. And now, although the jiva in the body of a snake doesn't understand this, and the jiva in the bodies of the ants, they also don't understand this, but those ants, they are punishing their ex-guru for the pain that he or the degradation he has given them. Now they're eating him alive. So one should not be cheaply misled by some popularity cult, so-called Paramahamsa. For some time they may appear to be very popular and powerful, but for their cheating business, they will have to get the result. But if we can find someone who can actually teach us the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, then we can be delivered from birth and death. Is anyone interested? If we offer good health, blessings for good health, people will be very interested, without considering that for all their good health, anyway you have to die. Or if a so-called sadhu or so-called bhagavan opens hospitals, people think, oh, very good. They're all avoiding the real question, how to get free from birth. Bhagavad Gita is meant for teaching this. Unless we understand this, our valuable human life is wasted. So if anyone is interested to attain the actual goal of life, they can follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is. It is not difficult. Oh, at last we have picture of a real guru coming. Better late than never. Yeah, put it at the side. But because in Kali Yuga people are very poor-hearted, just put it on the side. We're speaking. Should have been done before. Now you're just going to disturb everything. Just don't make a disturbance. Yes. Everyone sit down. Because in Kali Yuga, people are not fit for following any difficult process. Krishna has very kindly given us an easy process in this Kali Yuga. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasceva, 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 Gatir Anyata. In Kali Yuga, people are not fit for austerities and meditation. Just like we see in this town, there's a famous ashram where people are supposed to do meditation. And opposite the entrance, the coffee shop is always full. So what are the people doing in their so-called meditation if afterwards they go out to the coffee shop? If you can't even if by your so-called meditation you cannot even overcome the desire for coffee, then where is the spiritual advancement? That means when they're meditating, their so-called meditation, say only 5 minutes left, then I can go for coffee. We've heard about the great rishis of the past, Agastya, Markandeya, there are so many. We never heard that in the middle of their meditation they'd go for a coffee break. This is all bogus. So one should follow a practical process. There should be some practical purification. That is offered in the Krishna consciousness movement. Chanting the holy names of Krishna is a practical process of purification. One should follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is, as delivered to us by sadhus who are actually representing Krishna. We should follow some principles of purification. We cannot think that we can just go on with our life watching TV and drinking coffee and do a little meditation and become spiritually advanced. It is not possible. We have to follow sadhacha, principles of purification. So those who are interested, they can take to this. And everyone else can just go on with their life of birth, death, old age and disease, birth after birth after birth. You may say, well, you know, not so many people are coming, but they're not so many people are interested in this Hare Krishna movement. There are so many bogus Paramahamsas, they have so many so-called followers. But simply getting many numbers, that itself is not a qualification. Just like the female rabbit said to the tigress, she said, you see that I have 2 pregnancies a year and each time I have 7-8 children, and you only give birth to 1 child once every 2 years or so. My child is a tiger. So you may have many fluffy followers who have no spiritual strength, who are just devoured by the material energy. Someone who is just like Arjuna, Krishna called him Purusha Vyagra, the tiger among men. Someone who wants to follow the path of Arjuna, they can take Bhagavad Gita as it is. So Hare Krishna. Is any question about this, please? If anyone has any question, they can either stand and ask or come up and ask, or if you want, you can write it on a piece of paper and pass it up. We invite questions. If there are questions, it means that you are here with your mind, not just with your body. You have all come to listen to this lecture, presumably for some spiritual benefit. So if you think that what was spoken was valuable, maybe you'd like to, by asking questions, explore the subject matter further. Or maybe there's something you didn't clearly understand and you'd like it clarified. Or maybe something I said didn't sound right to you and you'd like to query it. That's there in Bhagavad Gita also. Arjuna asked Krishna, he said that you seem to be speaking in a contradictory manner, because Krishna was telling Arjuna to act in knowledge. But Arjuna was under the, he had the misconception that if you have knowledge, then you stop action. So practically throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna kept returning to this point. Lord Krishna summarized it, Mamanusmara Yudhyacha, fight Arjuna, thinking of me. Or rather, he said, first of all, you think of me and fight. The thinking of Krishna comes first. So if there are any questions, please feel them now.
In Kali Yuga, people have different necessities, like economically and socially, so many things.
Well, that's in every yoga.
To cross those things, there are like financial difficulties and all these difficulties, and yet.
Well, that's the problem. People think, first of all, let me get out of all my difficulties, and then I'll think of spiritual life. But it's a whole misconception. First of all, let me solve all my material problems. Then maybe I'll think about spiritual life. People think that religion is for solving all my material problems. But there is no solution. This material world means material problems. As long as we're thinking that I'll get free from all my material problems, then we can't even take to spiritual life, because we haven't understood that material life means ashesha klesha nisheshah, unlimited, unending difficulties. So we don't say that if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll win the lottery. We don't say that by chanting Hare Krishna, your physical health will improve. Although it very well might do, because mostly people who take to Krishna consciousness, at least their diet improves. And one tends to become free from anxiety. Not that the material problems go away. How can you say? I didn't finish the sentence. Not that the material problems go away, but when one realizes that I have no intrinsic connection with this material world, then one is able to live in it with less anxiety. If you think that I'll finish all my material problems, then I'll take to spiritual life, then you'll never take to spiritual life. One should take to it immediately. Puranamyateta, don't wait. After many births, we have attained this rare human form. We should understand that this human life is very valuable, even though it's fleeting, it's temporary. Someone who is actually very intelligent can understand that in this temporary human life we can solve the real problems of life. We don't have much time, we're all going to die soon. Instead of spending our time thinking how to solve this problem, that problem, and the other problem, instead we should take immediately to spiritual life. If we think, let me enjoy this way, that way, another way, and solve this problem and that problem. But this is going on life after life after life. Take to Krishna consciousness now. Solve one so-called problem and another 10 problems will come. No end to problems in this material world. But the real problem is that we are forgetting Krishna. We're forgetting that we are eternal spirit soul. Anyone in any condition, they can chant Hare Krishna. Is there any difficulty to chant Hare Krishna? Everyone please say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Was there anything difficult in chanting? No difficulty. But we get unlimited benefit by chanting these names. We should have faith in this. Then we'll know I'm chanting. Don't wait. There's no time. Don't think, first I have to get my daughters married, then I'll chant Hare Krishna. Don't worry, you don't have to get them married, they'll all go and find their boyfriends. In the modern age, the fathers don't marry the daughters. At college until they're 25 years old, and in the meantime they already have 20 boyfriends. So it's a very bad age, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. But we can directly take shelter of Krishna by chanting his name. Anything else? Any other questions? All right, let's all chant Hare Krishna together. Okay, you're the invited kirtaniya for this week with me. You can come and chant Hare Krishna. Books. Would you like to speak about the books just before we do this? Bhagavad Gita, please show.